from the chapter 7th onwards until the 12th chapter, we are only enjoying the Bhagavan's Swarupam, the Swarupam of the whole universe. What is this whole, the whole Jagat is manifestation of Bhagavan, manifestation of the truth, which means the truth, when you appreciate the world being manifestation of the reality, then we look at the manifestation as Ishvara, because manifestation involves an order. And what is this entire manifestation? What is that source of manifestation of this whole Jagat? Is actually understanding Ishvara Swarupam, understanding the Swarupam of the universe, the source of manifestation of this universe. What is the truth which is there even when this universe is not there? What is the truth which alone is in the form of this universe? What is that in which this universe remains unmanifest? That is the truth, Sadvastu, which is said to be the Swarupam, the truth of the universe is Swarupam of Bhagavan. We're understanding Bhagavan. So the whole, all these six chapters, Madhyama Shatkam, discuss only Ishvara Swarupam, Bhagavat Swarupam, which is Jagat Swarupam. Because for us, Bhagavan is non-separate from the universe. Universe is non-separate from Bhagavan. In the whole universe is Bhagavan for us. Therefore, Jagat Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam is one and the same, because Jagat is Bhagavan for us. Bhagavan is the manifest knowledge. So here in the ninth chapter, in the middle of this chapter also, same Ishvara is subject matter of the discussion here. We'll continue here. I'm going to list 24th verse of 9th chapter. Then we'll continue. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natu mama bhijananti tatvena tascha vantite. Bhagavan says in this verse, chyavanti, te chyavanti. Te chyavanti means those people who are ignorant alone fall. They slip away, slip into this beginningless, endless cycle of birth sentence. They slip into this life of transmigration. They fall into this samsara. I mean, they continue to remain in samsara. Why they continue to remain? Bhagavan says simple. Tatvena mam abhina abhijananti. The simple reason is, people do not understand me. Understand me in reality. People do not understand me in reality. Do not know me, what I am essentially. Bhagavan himself says here, it is ignorance of Bhagavat Swarupam, not understanding the concept of Bhagavan, not understanding what Bhagavan is. Who God is, who the Lord is, who the God is, what Bhagavan is, what is Bhagavan Swarupam? This lack of understanding the knowledge of the Swarupam of Bhagavan, the truth of Bhagavan, the fact of Bhagavan is the cause for people to continue to be in samsara. And Bhagavan says, sarva yajnanam bhokta aham. Because absolutely, Bhagavan is not the enjoyer of anything. Bhagavan is not the lord of anything. We say the truth is not the lord or enjoyer. But there is no, absolutely there is no enjoyer. There is no Lord other than the truth. We understand the truth is not the enjoyer of anything. Truth is not the Lord of anything. But there is no Lord, God, Ishvara, the enjoyer of anything and everything other than the truth. Therefore, we say Ishvara, qualification is attributed. Aham sarva yajnana bhokta, I'm the absolute enjoyer of all that is offered to is Bhagavan. The Lord of everything is Bhagavan. All the forms of rituals is Bhagavan. And when we miss to understand the truth of Bhagavan, the fact about Bhagavan, then helplessly we have to continue to be in samsara. That's why Bhagavan, God, is a fact to be understood. And it can be understood. If we understand, we can free ourselves from samsara. Otherwise, we will continue to be in samsara. That's what Bhagavan says in his 24th verse. Let us move on to 25th verse. Yanti devavrata devan. Pitrunyanti pitruvrataha bhutani yanti bhutejaha yanti madhyajinopimam yanti devavrata devan pitrunyanti pitruvrataha bhutani yanti bhutejaha mad Yanti madhyajino pimam. See, people worship the Lord. People pray to the Lord. The very few people try to understand the Lord. So people who try to understand the Lord, who make appropriate, adequate efforts to understand the Lord with the help of the Guru, with the help of the Shastram. And when they understand the Lord, of course they become free from samsara. In fact, freedom from samsara is also said to be otherwise attainment of Bhagavan. Attaining Bhagavan, understanding Bhagavan is attaining Bhagavan. Attaining Bhagavan is actually attaining freedom. Attaining freedom means what? Discovering freedom. So discovering the truth of one's own self is actually discovering the truth of the whole. Discovering the truth of the whole is discovering Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan is what? Attaining Bhagavan, which is discovering freedom. It's attaining freedom. Otherwise, you simply worship and pray, but do not understand Bhagavan means, then still samsara will continue. Here Bhagavan says, Devavrataha Devan Yanti. Devavrataha means, the word vrataha literally means penance, vow and all that. But here deva vrataha means deva, people who worship the devas are said to be deva vrataha. So those people who worship devas, deva vrataha, devas means different devatas, different natural phenomena. We use the term God to mean even every devata is known by the term God or deity. So devavrataha, people who worship devatas, other natural phenomena, the deities, they devanyanti, they only attain, they reach only those devatas. Reach means they are of that level. Still, ajnanam does not get removed. So Pitruvrataha, of course, even though Shastram itself emphasizes Devayagya, Pitruyagya, all different forms of worship, all these Panchamaha Yajnas should be followed by every Grihastha in order to live one's life in harmony with the entire universe, in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order. Why should I follow Panchamaha Yajnas? Why should I follow Deva Yajna, Arpitra Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Rishi Yajna, etc.? Why should I follow? Because following these Panchamaha Yajnas helps a person live one's life consciously, sensitively, with a great reverence for every life and everything in the universe. Thereby, live one's life in conformity with the values. Also live one's life in conformity with the universal order. Therefore, the living a life Panchamaha Yajnas makes one's life a life of contribution. Everyone being helplessly, choicelessly a consumer, one also becomes a contributor when a person consciously, sensitively lives a life of life following Panchamaha Yajnas. Shastram does emphasize that one should live a life of karma, Panchamaha Yajnas. Even a grihastha, householder who lives a life of karma yoga, who has purushartha nischaya, who knows his moksha is the ultimate goal, jnanam is the only means. For that jnanam, preparation is important. The only way of preparing oneself for the knowledge is just living a life of karma yoga, following this Panchamaha Yajnas in life. The Shastram tells that's true. But if a person without the Purusharth Nischaya, without any Purusharth Nischaya, a person is interested only in karmas, in rituals and prayers and worship, and only Artha Kamas become the goals, then what happens? Their worship also being karma, they do enjoy appropriate, adequate results. But ajnanam does not get removed because there is no preparation also possible. So here Krishna says, Devavrataha Devanyanti. When people worship with Shraddha, the Devas, they reach the Devas. Similarly, Pitrunyanti Pitruvrataha. Pitruvrataha means the word, it's a compound word. So people who worship their ancestors with Shraddha, Pitruvrataha, they reach Pitrun Yanti, they reach the ancestors. Similarly, Bodha Ijyaha. Ijya means those worship. Again, Ijya also means the worship only. Bodha Ijyaha, Bhute Ijyaha. The word Bhutam here means other. Bhutas here means the lower beings, the beings which are in between devas and human beings, beings of inferior order, but not beings in between devas and humans. So people who worship these bhutas, worship the beings which are in between devas and humans, those they reach those beings, bhutas. Whereas very few people worship the Lord as the whole. Bhagavan says madhyaji. Yaji means worshipper. Madhyaji means those worshippers of me. Krishna says worshippers of me. It means my worshippers, means people who worship Bhagavan as the whole and be seeking Bhagavan's knowledge of Bhagavan's Swarupa. Having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, having Bhagavan, knowledge of Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, having moksha as the ultimate goal, when they invoke the grace of Bhagavan, the whole, then they reach Bhagavan. They reach Bhagavan means they attain Bhagavan in terms of knowledge, thereby they also discover moksha. So what do you pray for, what do you aspire for, when you do any ritual, any worship, praying and worshipping also will bless you with that adequate result in keeping you what to aspire for through the ritual or worship. That is what is said here in this verse. It means you, any effort you, a person makes in terms of worshipping will never go waste. Definitely there is some result, but depends upon when you perform the ritual, when you worship, when you pray, what your sankalpa is. What is that you aspire really? In keeping with your aspiration, you will enjoy the benefit. If people worship the Lord, they are aspiring for the very Lord himself. I want Bhagavan, I want knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam, I want discover Bhagavan. With that, then I want moksha, I want jnana, I want Bhagavad Sakshatkara, I want to discover Bhagavan Swarupam, I want to understand Bhagavan. With this aspiration, when they worship, then their wish also becomes fulfilled. They attain Bhagavan in terms of jnanam and moksha. That is said in this verse. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Okay, before going to this verse, let me remind you. That's why the prayer can be for anything. You can pray for Artha, pray to Bhagavan for Artha, you can pray to Bhagavan for the enjoyment of pleasures, for the enjoyment of pleasures. You can pray to Bhagavan, seeking Bhagavan's grace for even the strength to level of dharma. You can pray to Bhagavan for accumulating punya, which can be later on translated into enjoyment, the life of pleasures. You can pray to Bhagavan for jnanam. You can pray to Bhagavan for moksha. Therefore, prayer can be of anything, but definitely intensely, fervently, when we worship Bhagavan, invoking Bhagavan's grace, definitely what to aspire for, you get. But unless and until you have Purushartha Nischaya, aspire for Bhagavan's jnanam itself, then there is no freedom. That is made very clear in this verse which we completed. In fact, when you seek Bhagavan's grace, when you pray to Bhagavan for Artha, then Bhagavan becomes an indirect object. What you pray for becomes direct object. The two objects, direct object, what is prayed for is direct object. The one who is prayed to becomes an indirect object. In a sentence, okay, so I'm sorry to say it, little grammar, okay. If you pray to Bhagavan for enjoyment of pleasures, again Bhagavan becomes an indirect object. When you pray to Bhagavan seeking Bhagavan's grace for accumulation of punyam, to be by living a life of dharma, then again Bhagavan becomes an indirect object. But when you pray to Bhagavan for Bhagavan, I want, hey Bhagavan, please bless me with the knowledge of your Swarupam, obtaining as my own Swarupam. When you see Bhagavan becomes object, direct object as well as indirect object, then you have Bhagavan, moksha. Direct object also must be Bhagavan. Indirect object also must be Bhagavan. That's why Janardhanaha also means Janehi Adyate Iti Janardhanaha. Two means one who really punishes people, one who punishes people for the wrongdoings is also Janardhana. Janan Ardayati Iti Janardhanaha. And one who is sought after by people is also Janardana. Okay, therefore, depending upon what you aspire for, then you get Bhagavan himself, which is moksha. Anyway, patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktu pahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. This is a very, very, very important, this is a very well-known verse, very famous verse. Everybody will quote this verse. Why? Bhagavan says, doesn't matter what you offer me, whether you offer me a leaf or a flower or a fruit or water, still I accept it wholeheartedly when it is offered with the pure mind. So, prayata atmanaha, important word there, prayata atmanaha. Yata atma, see, the word atma means mind in this context. Yata atma means the mind which has been mastered. Prayata atma means the mind which has been properly mastered. Properly mastered mind is what? A pure mind. Okay, so prayatatma is the one who has the mind which has been mastered. Which means the mastered mind means the mind wherein all these emotions are managed. Which emotions are managed means the mind is a pure mind. Where kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, likes and dislikes are very natural. There's no mind which is absolutely pure mind. But all these emotions do rise. The person who is successfully capable of managing those emotions by being committed to live a life of dharma, and he is said to be pure-minded person. The one who has relative mastery over his emotions, one who has managed his emotions by living a life of dharma, is said to be relatively pure-minded. Only in jnana one can become absolutely pure-minded. So here prayatatma means the pure-minded person. Yet prayataha atma yasya, the one whose mind has been well managed, well mastered, thereby which is relatively pure. Prayatatma is the person of pure mind, relatively pure mind. How prayatatma, what does one become prayatatma? By being worshipful, by being prayerful, by being committed to life of dharma, by living a life of karma yoga, following panchamaha yajnas, when a person lives, a person in due course of time becomes prayatatma. Such a person, the pure minded person, is, now simply you can't say pure minded, how does one become pure minded? The person who is committed to live a life of values. I tell you, the person who is committed to live a life of values, who is conscious of not hurting, who is conscious of not telling lies, who is conscious of not cheating, who is conscious of not doing anything wrong, which will cause pain to others. You know, such a person definitely is free from jealousy, hatred, anger. Relatively, not absolutely, relatively. Such a person who lives a life of karma yoga, who lives consciously life of dharma, values, and he alone can be said to be a pure-minded person, who is prayatatma. Such a prayatatma, if he Prayatatma, Bhagavan says, Aham Ashnami. I eat. Ashnami means I eat. I eat means I receive, I accept, I enjoy, I eat. Eat whatever, even whatever is of this person, pure mental person. Katam bhaktyupahritam. Bhaktya upahritam. Upahritam. Whatever has been offered with devotion. And of course everybody offers. But where is real devotion? Where is real devotion that Dhruva Bhagavan accepts? Real devotion is of the person who has pure mind. The person who has pure mind is the one who consciously lives a life of karma yoga, life of dharma, life of values. This is not simply to say pure minded. If you are consciously living a life of values, then you are pure minded. Otherwise, there is no pure mind. So, bhaktya upahritam, why this person lives his life consciously? Because he wants to prepare his mind for jnanam. He is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. He wants Bhagavan, Bhagavad Sakshatkara. This person has Purushartha Nischaya, he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. He wants knowledge, he wants to prepare his mind for knowledge. Therefore, consciously he makes efforts to prepare his mind for jnanam. Therefore, he lives his life karma yoga. Therefore, he is pure minded, relatively pure minded. And such a person with real devotion, as a jignyasu bhakta, living a consciously a life of dharma, as a pure minded, when this person offers, Bhagavan accepts, Bhagavan receives, Bhagavan enjoys, Bhagavan eats. Doesn't matter what he gives, how he gives, how he lives his life, what he aspires for, and how he is mentally. Then Bhagavan accepts. Bhaktya upahritam is a very important word. Bhaktya upahritam means with real devotion, with total aspiration for knowledge of Bhagavan. If the person offers, he offers patram, a leaf, pushpam, a flower, palam, a fruit, toyam, water. This person offers very simple things. But how does he offer? When he offers, actually, what is his prayer? I want your swarupam. Hey Bhagavan, I offer this flower to you. I offer this water to you. I offer this fruit to you. I offer this leaf to you. No. Everything is yours. I'm offering as though I'm offering. Everything belongs to you. I belong to you. But still, I offer as though I'm offering it to you. But by offering this to you, what I want is I want your swarupam. I want the knowledge of your swarupam. Please reveal the swarupam to me. With that knowledge, with this prayer when the person offers, then his devotion is real devotion. Devotion is real devotion. And when he offers these, anything, flower or leaf or anything, with the real devotion, bhaktya upahritam. And that person, because he is also living a life of yajna, life karma yoga, the commitment to dharma, he is relatively pure minded, and such pure minded persons offered with real devotion, Bhagavan says, I enjoy, I accept. Literally, Ashtami means I eat. So when you say Bhagavan accepts whatever you give means, but how you give is more important. What you give is not important. How you give is more important. Do you have Purushartha Nischayaha? Are you committed to the pursuit of knowledge? Do you desperately ask for Bhagavan Swarupa Jnanam like Nandanar? Do you pray for Jnanam? Oh Lord, please bless me with the knowledge. And please bless me with the preparation I need for this knowledge. You know, how many people live their lives with the Purushartha Nischaya? Only if the person has Purushartha Nischaya, is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan, then he is committed to prepare his mind for that jnanam, he is committed to live a life of values, dharma, only then he can be pure-minded. Otherwise, there is no way of being pure-minded at all. You have, as a pure-minded person, when something is offered with real devotion, and no doubt, Bhagavan does accept, irrespective of whatever is offered. So, patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. So, may Bhagavan bless all of us to become prayatatmanaha. If I should become prayatatma, all of us should become prayatatmanaha. Okay. Yat karoshi yadashnashi yajjuhoshi dadasiyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvama darpanam yat karoshi yadashnashi yajjuhoshi dadasiyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvama darpanam. Oh my God. What a bitter tea. Yat karoshi yadashnashi yajjuhoshi dadasiyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvama darpanam. Now Krishna says, how to convert every offering into an acceptable offering? How to? Bhagavan already has said, reveal the secret. I accept, I enjoy, I eat, I receive that offering of a prayatatma, pure-minded person. And who can be pure-minded? Only person who lives the life of karma yoga. Who is committed to live a life of dharma, who is conscious, who is sensitive, which means who lives the life of panchamahayajnas. And who is that one who can be karma yogi? One who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, which means who is aspiring for this jnanam of Bhagavan. Now Krishna says, how can you convert your offering in acceptable offering? Madarpanam he kaunteya, madarpanam kurushva. Whatever you do, make it, you know, an offering to me. Madarpanam. Do it as an offering to me. Doing anything as an offering to Bhagavan means what? Madarpanam kurushva. Mad arpanam kurushva. May you do everything as an offering to me. How can you do everything as an offering to Bhagavan? You do so many things from the time you open your eyes until you fall asleep. You do so many things. How can you do everything as an offering to Bhagavan? So, doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan means entertaining an attitude, having an attitude. It involves an attitude, which means being very clear what I want, what I'm desperately searching for in my life is nothing but freedom, moksha. And that moksha is non-different from Bhagavan's swarupam. Bhagavan's Swarupam is non-different from my own Swarupam. Therefore, all that I need is Swarupa Jnanam. All that I need is knowledge of Bhagavan obtaining as my own real nature. which itself is moksha. Knowledge is freedom. Knowledge and moksha are identical. Therefore, all that I want in life is knowledge of Bhagavan's Swarupam. Knowledge of Bhagavan obtaining as my own Swarupam, which is moksha. So having this knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam obtaining as one's own Swarupam as an ultimate goal, when we live our lives, whatever you do becomes offered to Bhagavan. Offering everything you do to Bhagavan means, or doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan means, living one's life having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal. Having Bhagavan as the absolute goal, ultimate goal. Having knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam obtaining as one's own Swarupam as the absolute goal. Living one's life is what? Doing, offering one's life to Bhagavan. So Krishna says here, yat karoshi. Yat is a relative pronoun. Yat becomes yad again because of the Gandhi rule. Yat karoshi, whatever you do, hey Arjuna, hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, yat karoshi, karoshi, you do. Yat karoshi, whatever you do. Ashnasi, you eat. Yadashnasi, whatever you eat. Juhoshi, whatever you offer as oblation. Juhoshi means offering as an oblation, fuel. Offering as an oblation, as fuel into the fire. In fire ritual. So Juhoshi, you offer. Ashnasi, you eat. Karoshi, you do. Tvam Karoshi, Tvam Ashnasi, Tvam Juhoshi. Tvam Dadasi, you give. And you add this relative pronoun yad, because what? Yat Karoshi. Why Takara? Why Dakara next? Why Jakara? So Sandhirus. Okay? That we will see in the grammar class. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, yad dadasi. Dadasi yat means what? Whatever action you perform, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, you put into the fire as an oblation, and whatever you give, you share, you contribute. Yat tapasyasi, tapasyasi. Tapasyasi means whatever penance you practice, whatever austerity or penance you undertake, you practice. Yet tapasyasi. Tapasyasi means what? You practice a given penance. Yet tapasyasi, whatever penance you practice, whatever austerity you practice or you undertake. Hey Kaunteya, tat madarpanam kurushva. May you offer all of them to me. Kurushva means may you perform everything. May you do everything, madarpanam, as an offering to me. As an offering to me. Madarpanam kuru. Is Bhagavan interested in making you do everything offering to him? What is implied is, it is impossible to do, to live this life without doing anything. You have to be doing all these things. Once you perform karma, karma will bind you. Karma will produce the result. You have to perform karma to live this life. Once you perform karma, karma will produce the result. When the result is there, result has to be exhausted. To exhaust the result, you have to be here, around, you have to be here. Which means the bondage is karma binds you. Karma binds you. So actually what you want is freedom from bondage, but karma binds you choicelessly. But still, it's a very difficult situation. You had to do karma to live the life. It's impossible to live the life without doing karma. At the same time, if you do karma, you get bound. How can you free yourself from bondage? By performing karma. You have to, you cannot, karma performed results in bondage. If without performing karma, you cannot live your life. But how can you attain jnana, moksha? Deva Krishna says, you have to do all your duties. You have to do everything. But whatever you do, may you perform, do everything you do as an offering to me. When you convert anything and everything you do as an offering to me, then it becomes not a binding karma, it becomes a liberating karma yoga. Krishna gives the hint here. How to convert the binding action, choicelessly binding action, into non-binding or liberating karma yoga. Okay, so karma yoga, karma means the same. Performance of action is karma yoga, action is karma. But what is the difference? It is the attitude. Okay, converting one's binding karma into a liberating karma yoga is possible when anything and everything done is done as an offering to Bhagavan. Doing something as an offering to Bhagavan means consciously living one's life, being aware of the fact that I am living this life ultimately for discovering moksha, which is Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as my own Swarupam. So I'm living this life ultimately to discover freedom through the discovery of Bhagavan, the truth, obtaining as my own Swarupam. With this understanding, when you live your life, then all actions become offered to Bhagavan. When everything you do is done as an offering to Bhagavan, and everything is done with that appropriate attitude of offering to Bhagavan, it becomes karma yoga. So Krishna says, yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yat juhoshi, yad dadasi, yad tapasyasi, tat sarvam madarpanam kurushva. He Kaunteya, madarpanam kurushva. May you perform, do everything as an offering to me. Understand? Doing everything as an offering to me, offering to Bhagavan, means living one's life, doing all one's duties, with a purusharthanischaya, with a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge in conformity with dharma. Okay? That is what offering everything tells to. Doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan. Very important. Now, you can understand why I repeat and repeat and repeat about this Purushartha Nischaya. How important it is. Shubha, Shubha Palai. Correct? Yeah. Shubha, Shubha Palai. Correct? Shubha, Shubha Palai Revam. Mokshase Karma Bandhanaihi. Sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mamu paishyasi. Shubha shubha palairevam मोक्षसे कर्म बंधनैः संन्यासयोगयुक्तात्मा विमुक्तो मामुपैष्यसि शुभाशुभफलैरेवं मोक्षसे कर्म बंधनैः संन्यासयोगयुक्तात्मा विमुक्तो मामुपैष्यसि. See, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth is otherwise said to be commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan or Bhagavan. Only then there's a purushartha nischaya. Only then anything you do becomes an offering to Bhagavan. So when a person does everything as an offering to Bhagavan, with an attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan, the Isharpana Buddhi, what happens? I said the karma, binding karma, becomes converted into liberating karma yoga. Then that person lives a life of karma yoga. He is no more a karmi. Karmi also performs, karma yogi also performs. The difference is what? Karmi doesn't have purushartha nischaya. Karmi is not committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth. Karmi is not committed to Bhagavan. Therefore, karmi may not know the value of dharma. Karmi may not be committed to live a life of values. So, karmi just performs actions. Therefore, karmi's actions do not become performed as an offering to Bhagavan. But as a karma yogi, it is his commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and it is this attitude he has, because what? Converts all his actions into yoga, because all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. As a result of living such a life of karma yoga, what happens? So, karma yoga phalam is again mentioned in this 28th verse. The benefit of living such a life of worship means performing all actions as an offering to Bhagavan, means the life itself becomes, all actions become worship. Life itself becomes life of worship, because all actions performed are performed as offering to Bhagavan. What's the benefit? Krishna says here, Shubha Ashubha Palaihi Karma Bandhanaihi Evam Mokshase. Arjuna, you will be liberated. Mokshase. Future passive voice sentence. Tvam Mokshase. You will be liberated from what? Karma bandhanaihi shubha ashubha palaihi. You will be liberated from all binding results, desirable, undesirable, auspicious, inauspicious results of actions. You will be liberated from all shubha ashubha palaihi. You'll be liberated from all punya papams. You will be liberated from all binding results of actions. In terms of punyam and papam, you will be liberated from all binding results of actions in terms of desirable punyam and undesirable papam. You would be absolutely free from punyam and papam. Shubha palaihi, you'll be free from punyam. Ashubha palaihi, you'll be free from papa palam also. You will be free from karma bandhanaihi shubhashubha palaihi. You are free from bondage of results of actions in terms of punyam and papam. If you have punyam, you have to be born again to exhaust the punyam. You have to papam also, you have to be born again to exhaust the papam. So punyam is also binding, papam also is binding. But here, when you live your life as a life karma yoga, with a proper attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan, doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan, what happens in due course of time, you become qualified for jnanam and you'll be blessed with the jnanam in the wake of knowledge of Bhagavan Sarupam, obtaining as your own Sarupam, when your ahankara will be resolved. Therefore, Kartrutvam will be resolved, Bhoktrutvam will be resolved. When the Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam will be resolved, where is punyam and where is papam for you? You become free from all punya papams. Sanchita karma resolves. Agami karma also resolves. Even parabdha karma, you become objected towards the parabdha karma. You become free from all punya papams. Result of action, all results of actions in terms of punya papams, you become free from bondage of karma. He says, sannyasa yoga yukta atma. Sannyasa yoga yukta atma. As the person whose mind is committed to sannyasa and yoga. As a person who is committed to sannyasa yoga yukta atma means, as a person who is committed to sannyasa and yoga. Yoga means knowledge. As a person who is committed to knowledge in sannyasa, being liberated, vimuktaha, being free from bondage of karma, being free from bondage of results of actions, you know, punya papam, mam upaishyasi. You will reach me, you will attain me. Means what? After death, when Bhagavan says you will reach me or attain me, mam upaishyasi, means you will remain one with as, remain with as me. Remain one with me means again you will not be born again assuming a body, mind, sense complex. You will not be born again assuming a body. Because your mind will be resolved in jnana. The mind is will not be there to assume another body. So in the wake of the jnana, mind will be resolved. Therefore, mind cannot assume another body. Therefore, without being born again, having resolved the mind, having resolved the sukshma, and you will remain as yourself, as one with me. Okay, which means attain moksha. When Bhagavan says you will reach me, what he means is you will attain videha muktihi. While living also you will have jivan mukti and you will also attain videha mukti. Once you parabdha karma gets exhausted, you will attain videha muktihi. You will not be born again. Here the word sannyasaha to be understood. The commitment is, the observed commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge. Then there is, the mind a person has is sannyasa mind only. Doesn't matter whether the person outwardly, how the person dresses and all that. Mentally, the commitment is the pursuit of knowledge, totally. Not becomes the goal. Such a person becomes liberated while living. As a liberated person, as a jivan muktaha, later on, after the parabdha gets exhausted, he will attain videha muktihi also. So Bhagavan says, vimuktaha, as a jivan muktaha, after the death, mam upaishyasi, you will attain me, you will reach me. This benefit of performing, doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan is mentioned here. Shubha shubha palai devam mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mam upaishyasi. Samoham sarvabhuteshu, samoham sarvabhuteshu, name dveshyosti napriyah. Samoham sarvabhuteshu, name dveshyosti napriyah. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, mayite teshu chapyaham. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti napriyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. Another beautiful verse he says. Bhagavan says, aham, see, samaha aham, samoham, visarga sandhi note. Make a note of Visarga Sandhi. Visarga is preceded by short akara, followed by short akara. Samoham. Samaha aham samoham. Samaha aham means what? Aham samaha. Aham samaha means I am the same. I, the Paramatma, am the same. I am the same. So Bhagavan now is talking from the standpoint of his Swarupam. Krishna's mouth, the words are coming out of Bhagavan's Krishna's mouth. But the Krishna's body is there, words are coming out of the mouth of Bhagavan. But still, Bhagavan's identity, Krishna's identity is not with the body. Krishna's identity is with now the very Swarupam. So from this identifying the essence with the pure consciousness, the Atma, Brahma, Bhagavan Krishna is talking as what? Aham Samaha. I Sarvabhuteshu Aham Samaha. I am the same towards all the beings. I am the same in all the beings. Bhutesh is locative plural. Sarva bhutesh aham samaha. I am the same in all the beings. I am the same towards all the beings. That's why ya brahmadi pipilikanta tanushu. Brahmadi pipilikanta tanushu. Brahma onwards and until this ant means what? So, irrespective of what the upadhi is, the truth obtaining in all the living beings, truth obtaining in all the beings is one and the same. I am the same, samaha aham sarvabhutesha. I am the same in all the beings. As pure knowledge, as pure consciousness, Bhagavan Swarupam being pure knowledge, identity is with the pure knowledge. Bhagavan says from the standpoint of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, I am the same in all the beings. Therefore, na me dveshyah asti na priyah. There's none who's hated by me. No dveshya. There's none who deserves hatred. Na priyaha. There's no one is hateful. There's no one is dear. Okay? Everyone is the same. Oh, he's very close to me. He's not very close to me. I hate this person. Such as pure knowledge as Atma. Bhagavan is what? The standpoint of Atma. There is no hatefulness, hatred towards anybody. There is no hatred or closeness, like or dislike on the part of the Atma. Bhagavan says, no dveshaha na priyaha. Therefore, ye mam bhaktya bhajanti, ye mam bhaktya bhajanti, those who worship, bhajanti, he means worship. Bhajanti also means those who want to attain me. Bhaktya ye bhajanti means bhaktya bhajanam, worshipping the Lord with devotion, always implies seeking Bhagavan's grace for knowledge. Please understand this statement, okay? Bhaktya bhajanti. Bhajanti means worship. Worship Bhagavan with devotion. How can you worship Bhagavan without devotion? Whenever you worship, the very worshipping itself is possible with the devotion only. Can you say anybody, some people worship the Lord without devotion? You cannot say worshipping itself is possible because of devotion. Therefore, what it implies is, those people who worship me with the devotion, bhaktya bhajanti means, with real devotion when they worship. Means people who seek Bhagavan's grace for knowledge. Bhagavan, knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam. So those people who worship Bhagavan with devotion, such people, mayi, te mayi santi, they are in me, I am also in them. Aham cha, teshu cha api aham. I am in them, they are in me. When people who worship me with real devotion of wanting Bhagavan Swarupa Jnanam, then such people attain Jnanam. When they attain Jnanam, what happens? They become they discover the fact of themselves being non-different from Bhagavan. And discovering in the wake of knowledge of the truth, when a devotee discovers oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, then Bhagavan is in them, they are in Bhagavan. Therefore, ye mam bhaktya bhajanti, te mayi santi, those people are in me, not only they are in me, I am in them. Te shuchapi aham, I am in them, they are in me. If a wave happens to see its sarupa, see itself as water, it sees itself through the water, then we can say what? The ocean is in the water, the wave is in the water. Wave is not separate from the ocean. Similarly here, Bhagavan says, Teshucha api aham, I am in them, they are in me, which means they are non-different from me. I am non-different from them, they are non-different from me, because they are myself, I am everything. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. Api chet sudura charaha bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavyaha samyagyavasito hi saha. Api chet sudura charaha bhajate mamananya bhak
साधुरेव समन्तव्यः सम्यग् व्यवसितो हि सः अपि चेत् सुदुराचारः भजते मामनन्यभाक् साधुरेव समन्तव्यः सम्यग् व्यवसितो हि सः.
Suppose if there is a devotee, when I say devotee, even a person can have simple faith in that Bhagavan will protect me, Bhagavan will save me, Bhagavan will help me. Then as Arthi Bhaktaha, as Artha Bhaktaha, a simple devotee. But as a real devotee, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, which is Bhagavan, then that person, suppose even such a devotee, Sudurachāraha, Sudurachāraha. See, āchāraha means conduct. Durachāraha, bad conduct. But sudurachāraha means very bad conduct. Sudurachāraha. Suppose the person somehow has a purushartha nischayaha. Somehow, because of his apātata jñānam exposed to some teaching, somehow this person has purushartha nischayaha. Therefore, this person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But as the person who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, means the person wants only knowledge of the truth. All that I want in my life is knowledge of the truth, he says. And the person who says, all that I want in my life is only knowledge, nothing else, nothing else. I want only knowledge. Such a person who does not seek anything other than Bhagavan, who only seeks Bhagavan, only seeks knowledge, such a person is said to be Ananya Bhak. Ananya Bhak. Ananya Bhak means the person who seeks something else also other than Bhagavan. But the person who does not seek, does not aspire for anything other than Bhagavan, who totally asks only for knowledge, such a person Ananya Bhak. That Ananya Bhag Bhaktaha, the devotee who is totally committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan, who does not aspire for anything other than Bhagavan, who does not seek anything else, Ananya Bhag, such a person is Ananya Bhag, but still, unfortunately, he is not a person of good character. The person is of a very bad character, very bad conduct. This person is of very bad conduct. Not acharaha, durachara, sudurachara. This person of very bad conduct also. That person, samyak vyavasitaha saha. Saha samyag vyavasitaha. Samyag vyavasitaha means what? He has appropriately resolved. At least appropriately resolved. Therefore, samyag vyavasitaha, at least he knows what he wants only Bhagavan. Therefore, he is appropriately resolved. Samyak means appropriately has resolved. Therefore, sadhu mantavyaha saha. That person also should be given the status of a sadhu. That person also should be considered a saint. Sadhu yeva mantavyaha. Sudurachāraha chedapi. even though he is a person of very bad conduct, still that person also should be considered as a saint only. Saha sadhu eva mantavyaha. He should be considered as a saint only, even though he is of a very bad conduct. Why? Because he has resolved appropriately. He does not want anything other than Bhagavan. It is that aspiration for Bhagavan to the exclusion of everything else makes him a sadhu. But that doesn't mean one can be of very bad conduct, but still I can aspire for Bhagavan. Doesn't mean that, if you say to be a person of bad conduct, it's difficult. Then you can't be considered sadhu. Suppose because of some problems, okay, if at all, what Bhagavan highlights is not that one must be a person of bad conduct. What he says, what makes a person sadhu is commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Commitment to Bhagavan. I want nothing in the world other than Bhagavan. That is the important thing. Not that Bhagavan accepts you to be a person of bad conduct. Okay? This verse should not be mistaken. But Krishna says, when a person of bad conduct, very bad conduct, should be considered a sadhu. Doesn't mean that. One cannot be a person of bad conduct. One need not be a person of bad conduct. What is highlighted is, what makes a person really a sadhu is, a sadhu is the one, whom can you call a sadhu? The person who cannot do any harm to anybody. A person who cannot hurt anybody. A person who cannot hate anybody. The person who cannot have any ill feeling towards anybody. He's a sadhu. Who is that person? Why? Because he doesn't want anything in the world. He's a non-competitor. Okay, no, he doesn't have any competitor, nor will he be a competitor, because nobody can prevent him from achieving what he wants in life. All that he wants is only Bhagavan. Only Bhagavan. He doesn't want anything else. Therefore, ananya bhag purushaha sadhu mantavyaha. Okay, the person who does not seek anything other than Bhagavan, one who seeks only Bhagavan, because what he seeks is only Bhagavan, he is very clear, then nothing prevents him, nothing can stop him from attaining Bhagavan. Therefore, he knows nothing in the world is responsible for his not being able to know Bhagavan. Therefore, nothing or nobody becomes object of hatred, victim of his anger. Therefore, such a person is a sadhu purushaha. Okay, saha sadhu mantavyaha. It is the commitment, total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam. All that they want in life is only Bhagavan. If that is the mature individual who has such a high ultimate goal, and that person should be considered a sadhu. Because he has appropriately resolved everything else. And even if the such a person is a person of very bad conduct, still he should consider a sadhu. Second line is only emphasis, not on the first step. Emphasis is on one who does not seek anything else, does not aspire for anything other than Bhagavan is a sadhu. That is more important. So, ananya bhak mam yaha bhajate saha sadhu eva mantavyaha. Why? Because saha samyak vyavasitaha. Because it's resolved appropriately.
Api chet sudura charaha bhajate mam ananya bhak. Sadhureva samantavyah samyagyavasito hi saha.
See, samyagyavasitaha. He has resolved appropriately means the resolve he has in his life is appropriate. His life becomes appropriately oriented. His priority is very clear for him. His goal is very clear for him. And he is doubtless 100% committed. There is confidence on his part. Doesn't matter whatever the person is, what is his position, whoever the person is, all that I want in my life is Bhagavan. If a person says, his priority is very clear. This reorientation on his part is appropriate. This commitment and confidence, appropriateness in his resolution. Therefore, he deserves to be considered a sadhu. The next verse is a beautiful verse. I love this verse because Swamiji always says, "Hey Kaunteya, name bhaktaha pranashyati." Bhagavan's promise. O son of Kunti, me bhaktaha na pranashyati. Na me bhaktaha pranashyati. No devotee of mine perishes. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit tata durgatim gacchati. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. Another expression. A doer of good action will not perish. My devotee, none of my devotee perishes. Name bhakta pranashyati. So that person, because of the purushartha nischaya, because of his commitment to Bhagavan, because he does not seek, aspire for anything other than Bhagavan, even though the person is of very bad conduct, in due course of time, he will become a person of right conduct. So, why? It is commitment to Bhagavan will convert him into a person from being a bad person of bad conduct to good conduct. So Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Kshipram, very soon, that person, Dharmatma Bhavati. See, that is why I always say, bad character, good conduct, bad conduct, all these things are relative. Once Purushartha Nischeha is there, once the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is there, when Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal, all that I want is only Bhagavan in my life. I need to discover Bhagavan as my own Swarupa. That becomes the goal, and naturally very soon any bad thing will go away from a person. That's why such a person of very bad conduct, kshipram, within no time, very soon he will become the person of dharma, the person of right conduct, the person of nobility. Dharmatma kshipram bhavati. Not only that, shashvat shantim nigachati. Shantim nigachati. Shashvat shantim nigachati. Shashvat shanti means permanent peace. Shashvat shanti means permanent peace. This person nigachati, gachati means goes, attains. But nigachati, nischayena gachati. Nigachati. he definitely attains permanent peace, everlasting peace. Therefore, why Arjuna, Krishna says, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Pratijanihi. Come on, you can go and promise everybody. You can tell everybody, declare, tell. Pratijanihi, you can go and advertise. You can go and tell everybody. What is that? Name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee, none of my devotee perishes. Name bhakta pranashyati. Hey Kaunteya, Pratijanihi, name bhakta pranashyati. What a beautiful place you're going to stop. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Remember this word, Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Me Bhaktaha Na Pranashyati. My devotee does not perish. Pratijanihi. You can announce, you can declare, you can tell, reveal. But to whom? Reveal to the world, tell the world, declare to all the people. What is that? Bhagavan's devotee will not perish. Who is Bhagavan's devotee? One who is committed to Bhagavan will not perish. This is Bhagavan's promise, Pratignya. He Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Nice words. Because Suduracharaha Api Sadhu Eva Mantavyaha. Because of his priorities, because of his right resolution, because of his right, you know, is very clear. Very soon, such a person, very soon, he will become a person of righteousness, person of values, person of right kind of dharmatma, kshipram bhavati, kshipram, very soon he'll become. He becomes. Okay? That doesn't matter how bad, how wrong everything is. That's why Purusharthan is just very important. Why Krishna, understand now why we repeat and repeat and repeat. Be very clear what you're aspiring for in life. Then you become committed to that. Then that's all. Your everything will change in life. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Remember this sentence. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.